We are casting pods for the eighth time here on the Stone Creek Coffee Podcast. Today we're going to talk about flavor notes in coffee. Flavor notes at times may seem just a little haphazard, like there's not a lot of thought put into it, or some barista just kind of pulled some fruits they thought of out of their butt while they were tasting coffee. But at Stone Creek, we actually bring a little bit more of a scientific approach in effort to describe for the taster what is actually happening in the coffee. So a flavor note we get is we try and draw a parallel to a fruit or to a certain kind of nut. And the reason we do that is because that particular coffee has some similar compounds or similar acidities to the fruit or the vegetable or the nut or whatever. Particularly today, I want to focus on acidity in coffee and link that to the flavor notes so people understand exactly what's driving our labeling of a coffee as tastes like sweet lemon or tastes like apricot or tastes like green apple. So thankfully, Christian is a certified Q grader, certified by the SCAA, and that is somebody who has gone through pretty extensive training to be able to articulate coffee quality, coffee defects, and coffee flavors.
What that really just means is I've eaten a lot of stuff, and I've paid attention when I've eaten the foods.
Yeah, a lot of our baristas go, I really want to get better at articulating what I'm tasting in coffee. And the best, I think, counsel to give is, well, take a journal with you whenever you eat dinner and write down what it is you're tasting. And also buy weird fruits.
Absolutely.
Yeah. We've been going through an experiment in our coffee team where Joel York, our roast master, brings different elements of the flavor wheel into the meeting. And so we taste and try and articulate what it is we're tasting. And there have been a few goofy things on that.
Yeah, we did tropical fruits a couple weeks ago, and he brought in some things that were, I can't remember what they were called, but they kind of looked like fuzzy balls, and you open them up, and they were kind of
snotty.
Weird. Yeah, kind of snotty, kind of weird texture. It wasn't lychee. It wasn't lychee, but it was something similar to a lychee. And also the jackfruit. Jackfruit from can that Melissa gave me. Melissa's the co-owner of Stone Creek Coffee with Eric. She had this Filipino fruit that came in a can called jackfruit, and it kind of smelled like rotting a little bit. I mean, it tasted fine, but the smell was just, it was like something died inside the can. It was not good.
So we're probably not going to put that as a tasting note on one of our coffees.
No, you're not going to see that or durian on our flavor notes anytime soon. Durian is another food that, no, we're not going to see jackfruit as the flavor note.
That's good. That's good. Funny story, when talking about flavor notes, my wife, Alicia, was a Stone Creek barista for a time, and she was working in our Oconomowoc Cafe, and one of the coffees we had had the flavor notes of chocolate and caramel on it, and that was the coffee of the day, so we had it written on the chalkboard. And this lady comes up, and she's like, so this coffee, like, how many calories does that have? And Alicia just kind of, well, it's coffee, you know, so like 5? And the lady says, well, like, so does it have cocoa in it? Or, like, I just don't, like, is it sweetened? How sweet is it? And Alicia says, well, it's just, it's the coffee, you know. So we try and articulate what the coffee tastes like, you know, like with a wine or whatever. And the lady says, you know what, I'll just have a skim latte. Yeah, I think you missed the point.
That's not the first time I've heard that happening, though. And flavor notes can be super confusing, especially since there are so many coffee companies out there that do flavored coffee. And when you see a flavor note, what a good coffee roaster is trying to do is give you an analogy. It's like, when you drink this coffee, it's going to taste like coffee, but it might remind you of chocolate, or it might remind you of caramel. And if a new barista or someone sees that, they're totally confused, and like, where's the caramel in it? Where's the chocolate? And they just, it's a barrier for the barista to really get a customer to enjoy the coffee.
Absolutely. And some of the areas I think where we get in the most trouble is some of the more subtle flavors, like trying to articulate nut from nut or sweetness from sweetness, one of the most easy areas to articulate is from acidity to acidity. And I think it's easy because people know a lot of different kinds of fruit, and certain kinds of acidity are present in certain kinds of fruit.
We eat lots of different kinds of fruits, and so it's really easy to draw analogy to the acidity that's inside of coffee. And a lot of folks think that acidity is a bad thing. And just like any kind of beer, any kind of wine, there's going to be a little bit of acidity in there, and it's really easy to pick up on your tongue. Like, it's really familiar. It's in a ton of different foods that you eat. And so by drawing that analogy, you're like, it kind of tastes like an orange, or it kind of tastes like a peach. And so we can use those types of acidities, which we'll get into in a minute, to really draw an analogy to what the coffee tastes like.
So let's start laying some groundwork. So when we talk about acidity in coffee, primarily you're going to find
one of five primary types of acidity.
And those would be citric, malic, phosphoric, acetic, and lactic.
That's right.
Okay. So let's just start walking through that. And Christian, I'm just going to throw one at you, and I want you to come back at me with sort of how this acidity takes shape, and then how it's translated in the final cup. So how it takes shape through growing and how it translates to the final cup. So let's just start with probably the one everybody knows straight away, and that's citric. They go citrus, vitamin C, lemons.
Yeah, any kind of citrus fruits, so oranges, tangerines, lemons, limes. Anytime you see that kind of flavor note on there, it's noting that there's a high citric acid content in the coffee. And citric acid grows inside of the plant during a cycle called the citric acid cycle, where the plant is taking the sugars that it created and turning it into different kinds of energy. Using that, it builds up inside the plant. And the better the fruit is taken care of, or the higher the altitude, the more citric acid you're going to taste inside of those coffees. That's why we look for high-altitude coffees. And we're actually going to do a little bit of an experiment on this in a couple of weeks, where we're doing a case study on growing altitudes. But higher altitude coffees tend to be richer in citric acid. And it really manifests itself in it can be slightly sour, especially if you under roast the coffee. It can be like a super lemon balm. But in a balance, it's just like adding a little bit of citrus to a gravy or a soup or something like that. It really balances out the flavors that you see inside the coffee.
So how would that kind of be manifest on your tongue then? Because all acidities kind of hit your tongue a little bit differently.
Yeah, I tend to notice citric acid right towards the front of my tongue. It's like you're biting a lemon. It just kind of zings towards the front tip of your tongue. And it can linger with you for a little bit, but yeah, it's all towards the front.
All right, let's go to malic then. Malic acidity, also highly present in fruit, and
I think it's probably the most pleasant acidity, and it's the kind of acidity it's related to wine, it's related to a lot of stone fruits, to grapes, and even kind of sour beers sometimes tend to be malic and lactic. We'll get into that in a minute. So malic also occurs during the growing cycle of the plant. So as that plant is using up energy, citric acid's being used up and some of it's transferred into malic acidity. Don't want to go into super detail here, but really it's another plant oriented. So if your plant is well taken care of and you prune the plant well, it's going to have high citric and can have high malic acidity as well.
So what does malic like taste like? What are we interpreting a high level of malic acid as if we're going to assign a flavor note to it?
So if I'm tasting a high malic acidity, I tend to think of like a green Granny Smith apple. It's kind of like pop in your face, really mouth-watering, juicy flavors. Kind of more subtle flavors might be like a really ripe nectarine or a peach. It just kind of satiates. It makes your entire tongue kind of tingle just a little bit. It really plays well to the sweetness inside the coffee. So the acid kind of gives you this sensation, and you get this really sweet aftertaste with that kind of acidity.
Christian told me the other day, I did not know this, but Nerds candy is all malic acidity and sugar.
Absolutely.
Yep. So if you want to know what malic acidity is, just go buy yourself some Nerds.
Or Warheads. Or Warheads.
Anything that makes you spit.
Candy is amazing.
Let's go to phosphoric. So phosphoric is the most fun to say out of these lists. Out of this list of acidities, and it's actually one of the most fun to experience in coffee, a little bit more rare than citric and malic as well.
Now, phosphoric acidity isn't necessarily tied to the growth cycle. It's tied to the mineral content inside the soil. So if there's a high concentration of phosphorus, the root system is going to suck that up. It's going to be drawn into the coffee cherries and thus kind of manifest itself in the coffee bean. And phosphoric acidity is more of a sensation than it is a flavor. They add phosphoric acidity to Dr. Pepper. They add phosphoric acidity to nacho cheese Doritos, believe it or not. And what it does is it kind of gives you this really interesting tingling mouthfeel on the sides of your tongue. It makes it feel like there's more body to the coffee. And really, when we're looking for like a coffee to dark roast, I look for a coffee that has a high phosphoric acidity. If you dark roast a really nice Ethiopian yogurt chef, you get this really awesome chocolatey sensation that just lingers on your tongue for a long time. And phosphoric is the reason it kind of, it feels like, it almost feels like it's vibrating the sides of your tongue. It's pretty cool.
There's I have to look into this, but there's a spice that I had in China. It was called like mouth numbing spice or just numbing spice.
Was it Sichuan peppercorn?
Yeah, I think that's it.
I had some.
That stuff is dope.
I have some at home. Dude. And I just made a dish with that, and I was making I made dinner for my girlfriend and I, and I needed some of that Sichuan peppercorn to sprinkle over the chicken, and all of a sudden, like, my tongue feels super weird. Like, what is going on here? And yeah, it's kind of a numbing spice. It's really kind of an interesting sensation.
I want to know what causes that, and I haven't looked into it, but I wouldn't be surprised if phosphoric acidity played a role somehow. Yeah, I was in China eating with some friends, and I bit into it and just started freaking out because I didn't know what it was. And then my He-Man friend with me had it and acted like it was no big deal. But and so phosphoric acidity then highly present in African coffees, Ethiopia in general. Does that bleed over to Kenya?
I tend to notice a bit of phosphoric acidity in Kenyan coffees. What's interesting is you don't really notice the phosphoric acidity because it's so high in malic acidity and lactic acidity because of the way that it's processed.
So let's jump to lactic then.
Absolutely.
And lactic, lactic acidity of and related to lactose, the sugar, which is of and related to milk / dairy products. And I think the way you notice this most in partaking is kind of the linger on your tongue that you get when you eat like a sharp cheddar cheese. You'll notice that actually a lot in coffee if you're looking for it. But how do we get that? Like, where does this lactic acid come from in the coffee?
You know, that's a tasting note we've never put on a bag of coffee.
Sharp cheddar.
Sharp cheddar. And really, that's the best way to describe it. It's a kind of lingering sensation on the back of your tongue. You also notice it in yogurt, but I also don't want to put that as a flavor note on the coffee.
Right.
So lactic acid comes about via the malolactic fermentation cycle. And it happens when coffees are fermenting. So we ferment coffees at origin to remove the mucilage, the fruit that's on the outside of the coffee parchment, which there's another layer of skin called parchment. You take that off, you have green coffee. That's what we roast. And the only two ways to get that fruit off of there is to ferment it or you blast it off with a bunch of pressure water. The easiest way to do that is via fermentation. You also create new and interesting flavors there. And so what you do during the malolactic fermentation is you take malic acid, high concentrations, and there's yeast that will convert that malic acid to lactic acid. The same process that happens via winemaking, malolactic fermentation. You look for malic and lactic acid when you're drinking wines. Same thing that happens when you have a sour beer, malic acid, lactic fermentation.
So then how does that translate then to our flavor notes? Because we're not going to put cheddar on there because that would just maybe throw people. Although we probably should do it because it would be mind-blowing to see it on a label and then pick it up in your tasting notes.
We should
notes.
Do a coffee and cheese tasting.
That
would be phenomenal.
A great idea.
So the way that you notice lactic acidity is kind of in the mouthfeel. And we tend to put some really subtle fruits towards the back of the tongue with that sensation. So maybe it's kind of a cranberry sensation or like an apricot that you just kind of feel lingering on the back of your tongue. So when you see those flavor notes on there, you think high lactic acidity. And we tend to notice this lactic acidity primarily in Kenyan coffees. We notice it a little bit in Guatemala, but we also notice it a lot in Colombian coffees, just due to the nature of how they process it and kind of the varieties and conditions that are around.
You can also see cream sometimes show up on the tasting notes, and that can be both as indicator of the body of a particular coffee, even some of the kind of milk-like sweetness, but also a reflection of lactic acid. All right, last, acetic acid, which sounds a little satanic. In terms of acid being present in coffee, it's definitely not one that I'm super excited about, but it's not all bad either. So acetic acid, Christian, where does this show up?
Like, acetic acid comes again through the fermentation process. A little bit of acetic acid goes a long way. It really gives a lot of body, a lot of character. But you might know acetic acid by its common name, vinegar. And so if you have too much acetic acid, your coffee is going to start to taste like vinegar, which is not good. So that acetic acid happens during the fermentation process. It also happens in natural process coffees. Those are coffees that the entire cherry is left outside the bean, and the sugars and everything start to ferment inside the bean, and this natural kind of balsamic-y flavor makes its way inside the coffee bean, and it, in little proportions with a little bit of like blueberry, blackberry sensation, it's awesome. Too much and you just get like this fermentation acetic acid bomb that tastes like vinegar, it's not good coffee.
Most recent time I experienced this overgrowth of acetic acid was in a coffee we got from a roaster nearby us out of Milwaukee, but they had purchased a natural coffee and it had just gone terribly awry, and natural coffees can often do that. Like, it's hard to process a natural coffee without over-fermentation and acetic acid taking over. So if you really find a nice, clean, clean natural coffee that's sweet and balanced, just buy a lot of that because you're not going to see it every day.
If you're thinking acetic acid, kind of think of like a piece of fruit that you left in the back of the refrigerator, the way that it smelled when you took it out of there, or you had a banana that kind of fell in the back of the pantry and you kind of noticed that smell. That's exactly what you're looking at. When you have a bad natural process coffee, the same thing happens. You have fruit that's sitting on a patio. It's not being turned. It's not drying evenly. You have rotting, fermented coffee, which is not good.
Not good. If you're at Origin and you walk past a cascara pile, which is the fruit of the coffee, after it's removed off the bean, it's just kind of left out to decompose and really form a compost pile for the farmers. It doesn't smell great. And
it smells like compost. Yeah. Don't lie to everyone. It smells like compost.
Right. It smells bad. And if you get a natural that's processed poorly, what happens is your coffee is composting, basically. It gets moldy and disgusting and smells that way, and it even tastes that way. Like, you get a bad natural in the cup, it tastes like that compost pile smelled. So that wraps our overview of acids in coffee, how it dictates tasting notes.
So as a summary, like, when you see tasting notes on a bag, think by analogy, what other flavors do you like otherwise? Like, are you a red wine drinker? Are you a white wine drinker? Do you like fruity beers? What are these flavor notes that you enjoy in other things? You probably will like that same characteristic in a coffee. And believe it or not, like I said before, acidity is not a bad thing. It adds character. It adds body. It plays well with the sweetness. And there's also good contrasting flavors with the bitterness inside the coffee. Bitterness is an episode inside itself. But when you're looking at the flavor notes of the bag, don't assume that we're injecting those flavors inside of there. That's just what the coffee is reminding us of. And look for flavor notes that you enjoy. If you enjoy sweet things, look for coffees that have lots of caramel and chocolate inside of them. A Brazil or a slightly darker roasted Central American might be that coffee for you. If you're looking for something that's more fruity, look for an African coffee or a high-altitude Costa Rica like the Santa Rosa 1900, which are about to sell out of. Beautiful coffee, cherry, red fruit deliciousness.
And to that end, as Christian even brought up sort of the origins and how they dictate flavor notes, in 2 weeks from now we're going to take this conversation a little bit deeper, having understood sort of how acids drive tasting notes and having reviewed where some of those acids are prominent. We're going to go through some of the most popular origins and the origins we work with in particular to kind of outline the tasting notes that we expect to draw out of those origins, because the particular terroir in which a coffee is grown dictates those flavor notes remarkably.
That's a fancy word, terroir.
I felt sexy.
That was great.
So be sure to check back with us then. In the meantime, please hit us with any requests you have in terms of our conversation topics. We are super happy to oblige. We've had requests for brew methods, and we did a two-part episode on that. We had a request for home roasting, and we did a really in-depth episode last time about that. So we're definitely going to do what you ask us to do.
Also, if you like the podcast, throw us some comments. Throw us a review. Like you said, you can tweet at us, Stone Creek Coffee with one E.
Email podcast@stonecreekcoffee.com.
Or go onto iTunes and leave a review. We'd like to see what you think of the podcast.
All right. Till next time, we're geeks.
And we are talking coffee.